It's early morning, Sunday morning, sun shining for a change. Yesterday it was unbelievably cold. It was like a north wind blowing. It was like winter. And of course the day before, in the evening, we had the birthday party for which my brother and my cousin brought myself and Govinda Maharaj here. It was a very, very interesting and instructive event, as always. You can see the pictures on Shareit, quite a few pictures over there of different aspects of the party taken by Govinda Maharaj. It was instructive in that I saw once again how open people are to Krishna consciousness, how curious they are to Krishna consciousness. You can see from the pictures there were a lot of beautiful people, well-dressed people, wealthy people, people who were, many of them, in or connected to the movie industry, with my cousin, directors, producers, writers, actors, actresses, financiers, and so on. There were rabbis, and over 100 people came. There was a tent set up in the garden, although it was quite cool out there, but still the tent worked. And myself, Govinda Maharaj, Bhakti Marg Maharaj, Krishna Leela, and Premavati Devidasi from Toronto, they were present here. There were five of us. But we stood out, obviously. Three saffron-robed swamis stood out, as well as the ladies in their saris. And we stood out not only because we were just colorful, but we stood out because we were Hare Krishnas, and because everyone else was curious. Everyone else really wanted to know. Well, my cousin doesn't keep it a secret that his cousin is a Hare Krishna. He tells others, really lets it be known. So of course people were seeking me out, not to just wish me a happy birthday, but they wanted to know. They wanted to know about what I did, where I traveled. They wanted to know about Krishna consciousness, how it was organized. They wanted to know about the philosophy. They wanted to know about the preaching in Hungary. Many of these people were Hungarian Jews. That means that they traveled to Hungary, and they wanted to know whether they could come. I invited them, visit the farm. From the farm, they really heard quite a lot, and they were extremely open, extremely inquisitive, extremely polite and receptive, so that really I was downstairs at 6:30. We started at 7:30. I started off by preaching to the cooks and the photographer and the sound men and some other early guests who came. And by the way, my cousin really bent over backwards. There was no alcohol. They served wine. That was it. And he had the caterer cook vegetarian style. I was very, very impressed. It was really quite good. It was high-class vegetarian food, but everything was no garlic, no onions, no mushrooms, of course no meat, fish, or eggs. And he made dozens of preparations. They were hors d'oeuvres, they were entrees, they were main courses. I didn't even get to taste everything, and the cake was unbelievably tasty, eggless cake, and it was made with Rice Krispies, actually. Anyway, he did a fabulous job. So it was really unoffensive in terms of Krishna consciousness in any way. But as I said, I stood from 6:30 and I kept going till 2:30 at night. I went to sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning, that's right. And And it was just from one person to another, or groups of people. They were nonstop inquisitive, wanting to know more and more and more. And they were so open, people who then invited me to please come and visit them, whether it was in the States or in Los Angeles. Quite a few of Robert's acquaintances from Los Angeles came here because he spends half his time there. He spends the winter there as well. So, and that when I came back in June, that I should visit some friends here in Toronto. And I was very open to that. Actually, and people were, as they were going, it was like I had some people who kept coming back. And the last person was a householder couple that I was, husband and wife couple I was speaking to. And the wife, she was so tired, she was falling asleep on the couch. And the husband, he was sort of my age, maybe a little younger. And he was very polite, very well-dressed, and just asking about how is it that Krishna consciousness is spread out over the world. He was really marveling at it from the point of view of a corporate achievement. How is it managed? He wanted to know about the philosophy. We started talking about the philosophy, and he was like this, the experience that we have of some newcomer who just really steps onto Krishna consciousness and realizes, yeah, this is it, this is what I've been looking for, and it's just really gobbling up the philosophy and everything, just wanted to hear more and more and more and more. And then finally his wife was just so tired, she politely asked to leave, and he very much wanted to continue the discussion, asked me to come over. And then after everyone had left, Robert said, you know who that man was you were talking to? And I said no, and then he and mentioned his name, and he said he's one of the wealthiest men in Canada, a billionaire. So it just goes to show how such people are, of all walks of life, are so open to Krishna consciousness. And as we were talking then later on for another half an hour, myself and Govinda Maharaj, that the only obstacle to preaching Krishna consciousness is that we don't preach it. Is that we don't go out of our way, go to meet people, go to places where people are eager to hear, ready to hear, wanting to know about us. And the effect is really the same, you know, whoever it is that we're talking to. But when you start presenting the basic truths of Krishna consciousness, yes, people are unhappy, they're frustrated, because they are missing the essence of life. The essence of life being based upon real inner spiritual happiness, which is only possible when you know who you are, when you identify with this body, or misidentify with this body, and you forget your eternal spiritual nature, then everything's wasted. Everything's just down the drain. And everyone nods, and everyone appreciates, and everyone admits that they're not happy, and everyone admits that their wealth and their opulence, and whether they may be on their second or third spouse seeking for happiness in a different combination, it's not really meeting the demands of their soul. They're not really, really happy. And they see it, they feel it when they're in the presence of devotees. They feel that happiness, that peace, that contentment that we may take for granted. Sometimes we may think that actually even we're in anxiety and we've got problems, but these people see it in a different way. So if somehow or another we take the opportunity to just go out and give to these people, it's so wonderful. And whatever disagreements we may have institutionally, philosophically, amongst each other, and so on. But one thing is for sure, is if you preach, you're doing the right thing. You know that when you're preaching, Srila Prabhupada is pleased, Krishna is pleased, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is pleased, you're situated in the best possible way. There's nothing better that you can be doing. So under all circumstances, we should find time and energy and engagement to go out and preach to spread Krishna consciousness. And if we do that, then we'll be perfect ourselves, and people will really, really be indebted to us, because we'll be giving them something that throughout all of their lives of searching for material prosperity, even throughout all of their lives of being religious, they won't have really acquired. Jnanatma supersedity, real peace of mind, because actually they know what the goal of life is, and they know how to get there. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada.